My friends, in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our great High Priest, Jesus, who served us in the order of Melchizedek. We read again in Hebrews chapter 5, just one portion of the epistle reading this morning, where the author to the letter to the Hebrews writes, "So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And he also says in another place, 'You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.'" This is God's word. Please be seated. You are probably aware that in the Roman Catholic Church there are orders of priesthood, each one striving to cultivate the ideals of its founder and to imitate the life of its founders. So, for example, priests in the order of Francis of Assisi, the Franciscans, will live like Francis did, fulfilling their religious duties out in the world, loving their neighbor and showing compassion. Priests in the order of Augustine, the Augustinians, will live like St. Augustine did, in communal poverty and austerity, with an emphasis on service to the poor. Martin Luther was an Augustinian priest when he was a Catholic. If you were to ask me what priestly order I belong to, I would probably have to say, yeah, I belong to the Walternian order, yeah, because I'm pretty much my father's son, Walter, a chip off the old block, you know? The older I get, the more I see of my dad and myself, and that kind of scares my wife. My sister is here. She would attest to that. I don't know what order our vicar will be serving in, but based on his children's message today, in which he basically said everything I wanted to say, he will be serving in the Nirmanian order of the priesthood. But today the author of Hebrews says that Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Although what our text does make apparent is that Jesus really brings the best of both of these priestly orders to his priesthood. And that's great good news for us. So let's first of all start with the first four verses of this epistle reading, which describe the priesthood after the order of Aaron. We read these words: "For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was." Now, Aaron, if you recall from the Old Testament, was Israel's first high priest, the first one to wear the priestly vestments and to fulfill those priestly duties in the tabernacle of sacrifices and of prayer on behalf of the people. Numbers chapter 31 says, "Appoint Aaron and his sons to carry out the duties of the priesthood." And every priest after Aaron would be said to be priests in the order of, or after the order of Aaron. That is, they all did the same things that Aaron did. They made the sacrifices. They sprinkled the blood of the sacrifices on the mercy seat of God at the appropriate time of the year. They lit the incense when the prayers were being offered to God on behalf of the people. They mediated the relationship between men and God. And now there was one big advantage to having priests after the order of Aaron. And that is, as this text says, that they were from among men. They were human beings, just like the people they served. And so they could sympathize with those people in their struggles against their sinful nature and in the problems and in the trials of life. And they could have compassion for those people and understanding, because they themselves were so weak and so subject to sin. Now, of course, that also meant that the priests, as this text says, had to make sacrifices for their own sins too. You know, as much as we like to think that we'd like to our priests, our pastors, to be perfect, the truth is that if they were perfect, we wouldn't feel that they could understand us. And we wouldn't feel comfortable in their presence. It's good to know that the one who represents us before God is also one of us. That's the priesthood of Aaron. And then you have the priesthood of Melchizedek, a very different kind of priest. Melchizedek was this mysterious man who suddenly showed up in Abram's life after Abram was returning from a successful battle against four kings in which he had rescued his nephew Lot. Listen to what the author of Hebrews writes about Melchizedek in Hebrews chapter 7, the first four verses. He says, "For this Melchizedek, the king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him." And you see a portrayal of that blessing on the slide today. "And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything." That is, he gave Melchizedek an offering. "He is the first, by the translation of his name, the king of righteousness. And then he is also the king of Salem, that is, the king of peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the God, the Son of God, he continues to be a priest forever." So let's make the comparisons here. Under Aaron's priesthood, people would give their offerings to the Lord, but through Aaron. Whereas Abraham gave his offering directly to Melchizedek, as if Melchizedek were worthy of that divine glory. Aaron, as a priest, needed to make sacrifices for his own sins. But Melchizedek is the king of righteousness and peace. No sacrifice for sin apparently needed, as if Melchizedek were holy. Aaron and the priests of his order are chosen from among men. But Melchizedek, it says, has no record of parentage or of genealogy, as if he comes directly from God. Aaron and his priests in his order were born, and then they died. But Melchizedek has no record of beginning or of end, as if he were eternal. Put it all together. Melchizedek receives that divine glory. He is the king of righteousness and of peace. He comes directly from God and is eternal. Do you see it? For all of these reasons, Hebrews in chapter 7 concludes that Melchizedek resembles the Son of God. Listen again, verse 3. "He is without father or mother or genealogy, resembling the Son of God. He continues a priest forever." Actually, some people have gone even further than saying he resembles the Son of God. Some have even believed that Melchizedek actually is the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, but pre-incarnate. That is, Melchizedek is Christ, but before Christ took on flesh in Mary's womb. But in any case, the point is clear. Jesus brings to his priesthood these things that Aaron never could, making Jesus the greatest high priest of them all, after the order of Melchizedek. And then we go back to chapter 5, and what we learn there is that Jesus really brings the best of both Aaron and Melchizedek to his priesthood. So once again, we go back to chapter 5, verse 7. "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication." In the days of his flesh, our great high priest, like Aaron, is a real flesh and blood human being, which means that like Aaron, he is able to sympathize with us. He knows the power of temptation. He knows what pain and tears are all about, even though He went through all of it without sin. But He knows our struggles and how hopelessly sin has ensnared us, so that when we do sin, He does not immediately write us off or cut us off as we surely deserve. But He has compassion and patience with us. As St. John said in his first epistle, if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous one. An advocate. Somebody who's pleading our cause. Somebody who understands us, who sympathizes with us, who pleads our cause at God's throne, praying for us as a priest, just as He did on the cross. Father, forgive them. So Jesus brings to His priesthood the very best of what Aaron has to offer. He is one of us. But of course, our great high priest must do more than just sympathize with us. He is, after all, a priest. And as we heard in the children's message, a priest's job is to make the sacrifices for the people and to pray for the people so that they might receive a blessing from God, just as Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And what a blessing we get from our Savior. Again, we read in Hebrews 5, in the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to Him who is able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverence. Although He was a son, He learned obedience through what He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Not only does our high priest come to us in our flesh that He may sympathize with us like Aaron did, but this Son of God who has no beginning was conceived in the womb of Mary. This one who has no family lineage was born into the line of David. This one who has no end nevertheless permits His life to end on a cross as the one all-availing sacrifice that the priests of Aaron could never make. Hebrews says that Jesus prays to the one, His prayers to the one who could save Him from death were heard, which is kind of odd to think about, because the one who could save Him from death didn't. At least not in the way we would have expected. But then Jesus didn't pray for His own preservation, did He? From the cross of His sacrifice, Jesus did not pray that His life would be spared, but that we would be forgiven. And He commended Himself to God, and He drew His last breath, and He died, knowing that His Father would raise Him up again for our justification. So although He was the Son of His Father, yet He learned obedience to His Father through what He suffered. And thus He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him, all who believe in His gospel, having been designated a priest in the order of Melchizedek. And now, having benefited from Christ's priesthood, there remains a priesthood for us too, as the vicar was talking about with the children. St. Peter said in his first epistle, you are a royal priesthood. You might even say that we are priests after the order of Christ. Not that we make sacrifices for sins, that sacrifice has already been made. But everybody who receives the benefits of Christ's sacrifice is now called into the priesthood, called to fulfill certain priestly functions that the world desperately needs to be fulfilled. For one thing, intercessory prayer. Praying for other people. Bringing them and their needs to the throne of the Father, knowing that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much, as St. James says. Paul said in Philippians 4, "In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Why are we to be in such fervent prayer? Because Jesus, our high priest, prays for us. And we are priests in this world after His order. And so we pray for each other. And sacrifices. Again, not sacrifices for sin, which only Christ can do, but the sacrifices that Paul talked about in Romans when he said, "In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." We are privileged to make the sacrifices of our gifts, of our offerings, of time spent and of gifts used to serve God and our neighbor, and the sacrifices of our praise and of our worship and of lives lived for Jesus, even when the world despises those who live for Him. Why? Because we are priests in the order of Christ. He sacrificed for us. And now we make our sacrifices for Him. And then there is this from Hebrews 4. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." It is the job of the priesthood to hold fast and to boldly proclaim our profession of the Christian faith, which the world needs now more than ever. Why? Because He, our high priest, is the Word who became flesh for us. And we are priests in His order. He proclaimed the kingdom of God to us. And so we proclaim Him, the Word of God in the flesh, our Redeemer. So, Jesus' priesthood brings to us the best of both Aaron and Melchizedek, and yet He supersedes both of them as the only high priest who actually became the sacrifice. Blessed be His name forever. And diligent be His church in this world as priests in His order. Priests who are active in prayer, who are sacrificial in their living and giving, who are regular in their worship and in their witness, for we are priests after the order of Christ. In His name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen. We join then to confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated as we, as priests, give our offerings and sacrifices to God.